back here on National Geographic Weekend discussing the man who is actually almost a myth. He's so accomplished, Leonardo da Vinci. The book is Leonardo's Universe, The Renaissance World of Leonardo da Vinci, newly from National Geographic. Belint Adelaide is one of the authors, and he is here with us talking about someone whose accomplishments in just one area would be more than a lifetime's worth of achievements for most people. But he did it in medicine. He did it in art, engineering, and he was always sketching designs. He thought of flight, to ways that people could fly. The helicopter, he's credited with having the forerunner design for the helicopter.
Right.
How is that? What was he even thinking of? Nobody thought of flying then in a mechanical device.
I suspect one thing that he had that we don't have is preternatural vision. This is the sort of thing that Ted Williams had. Ted Williams would insist he could see the writings and the strings on a baseball approaching him at 90 miles an hour. If you can draw the wings of birds in serial motion, you have preternatural vision. And that's what Leonardo did. He studied how the wings were going.
He could draw the wings of birds in flight.
He filled notebooks full of just the motion of wings. And that's what he wanted to achieve. He made these ornithopter wings that were strap-on wings. They wouldn't have worked. We can't generate enough energy. He designed the helicopter, the aerial screw, and Igor Sikorsky in the 20th century invented the helicopter based on the aerial screw. Then he invented the parachute. For 100 years that we've seen this one diagram.
We didn't even need one at that point.
No.
We didn't have a plane to jump out of.
But he knew it would come. This is the thing. He was inventing the future, but he wasn't influencing the future because his stuff was never published.
Well, surely he was talking to people. He had connections because of his art. He was invited into and his engineering skills.
Right, right. A good point that you mentioned at the break was he was a bundle of contradictions. Here he was a pacifist all his life, and he was employed for 17 years with the Sforzas in Milan as a military engineer, designing tanks, howitzers, mortars, the machine gun. He designed the machine gun. He designed a steam-powered
cannon. Did they even have a gun then?
He designed the wheel lock, which is the precursor of the flintlock.
He designed the mechanism for a machine gun before they even had a rifle.
And how about the automatic transmission before there was a car?
What was he designing it for? You've got to help me out here. I don't understand what he...
But these were all mental inventions for him. None of these were probably replicated in his own time, except for maybe something simple like an odometer, which he did make.
What was he taking the mileage on, the ox cart?
Oh, no, he had something like a wheelbarrow. Every time the wheel turned 30 times, a gear would turn once. And every time that gear turned 30 times, another wheel would turn once, and a bead would fall into a box. So 30 times 30 times 30 rotations of the wheel would cause one bead to descend. And when you counted all the beads, you'd know exactly how far it was around the castle or the city. Trivial, but it worked.
Endlessly curious.
He's been described as the most relentlessly curious man in history.
Belint Adelaide is talking with us here about the book Leonardo's Universe. Well, no wonder he's on so many people's list of who would you like to have dinner with most in history. He would have to be on there.
He'd have to be. He'd have to be. And yet, he thought he was a complete failure. Just before he died, he turned to his assistant, Malzi, and he asked, did anything get done? We look at what he's achieved, and we think maybe there was a dozen different supremely gifted people all using the same name.
And when he said, did anything get done, he was referring to his life's work?
His life's work. He wanted to publish, he said, 120 books. He published none. He illustrated a book for his friend, the mathematician Luca Pacioli. Very important book worth millions of dollars in the very small volume that it was published in. In there, you see how he knows a great deal of mathematics. He knows solid geometry. He's inventing all these forms, these solid geometric forms, and he shows them as transparent, something that had never been done before.
If he did not have formal educational training, how does he learn and then build on the accumulated knowledge. Well, obviously he could read and write. He could write because he left all of these detailed notebooks and writings.
Right.
He must have been constantly self-educating.
He loved to read, and there's one list of his books that he took with him to Milan when he was about 28, and he cherished his books. The thing is, the question perhaps should be the converse of what you asked. If we had someone like Leonardo now, how would we educate him? It's almost better not to educate them. They're too intelligent. Let them educate us. Let them reinvent everything.
And that's perhaps what's most surprising about his intellect, that he didn't have time to get this basic groundwork of knowledge that you get in school. He was learning all of that from himself, from intuitive ability and observational ability.
Right.
And in a sense, anytime he wanted to do something, he was having to start from scratch, is what I'm getting at. So it was a lot harder.
Logic was much more important than dogma. When he was very young, in his 19, 20 years old, he climbed a mountain in the Dolomites, and he found a cave where there were some fossils. And he came back and wrote about how the Earth had to be much older, millions of years old, rather than the thousands of years that the church had been attributing to the Earth. So logic was more important.
And you talk about how Da Vinci was credited with being the father of robotics.
That's
right. There
was
no such thing as a robot then.
That's right.
What was he designing?
There's one design for what we thought was a car for at least a century. It turns out to be a design for robotics. Then there's the robotic knight. This was to impress the Sforza family. This knight would open his chest and pull out these flowers.
For what purpose?
It's not quite clear. It certainly impressed the Sforzas.
Oh, he actually built this.
He did build this. He built that. He designed a lot of...
And it did it on its own. This was a device that looked like a knight in armor.
It wore an armor.
And it came in on its own and opened up its chest and pulled out flowers?
Well, whether he came in or whether he was seated there, we don't know, because it's just the drawings. But now what we have is his stage designs. And those were, in fact, robotics. They were all choreographed. They would open the screen and all kinds of things would move in and move out. It was endlessly thinking. If I could meet him, I would like to tell him about modern physics, modern science. And he would be bewildered and he would be awed. And then he'd take us to the next step.
His life is a fascinating story, and it's captured in Leonardo's universe, The Renaissance World of Leonardo da Vinci. Belinda Adelaide, thanks for sharing part of it with us.
Boyd, it's been a pleasure.
Did you ever wonder what blimps do for a living when it's not football season? I mean, what happens to the blimps when they're not flying over a game to get that one picture of the stadium? It's not like you could even use them to haul passengers around. So you got to find something else for these blimps to do. One man may have the answer. He wants to race them. We'll explain how and why when we return here on National Geographic Weekend on the Salem Radio Network. I'm Boyd Mountain.